Father, we just thank you that you are with us and you're our God, our Lord, our Redeemer. We thank you that we gather together to give praise to you and to worship you. Thank you, Lord God, tonight that you reveal your word to us and that you cause us to be just built up in the promise that you have made and in the word that you have provided. Thank you that you have been faithful from day one. And thank you, Lord God, that though we've been faithless, you love us. And you are merciful to us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And your desire is not just to be merciful, but to glorify yourself in us because you love us. Jesus said, the Father himself loveth you. And we just thank you, Lord, tonight that you love us and that you're ministering to us and causing us to just walk in your kingdom, live in your kingdom, dwell in your kingdom, become comfortable in your kingdom and uncomfortable living in the world. And we thank you for it, Lord God. We thank you that our joy is to live in the kingdom. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That love of God, that agape of God, is how we meet the world every day. We meet them with the love of Jesus. And we praise you for it. Amen. All right. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. And let's look here. Paul, verse 1. An apostle of Jesus Christ. Well, we've heard that before. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God. Again, that's always a good one because Paul knew who he was. It's good to know who I am. It's good to take this word of God and insert it in my head and let the Holy Spirit reveal to me who I am. I'm a son of God. I'm the beloved of the Lord. I'm called by His name. I'm called for His purpose. And not just me, but you. Called by His name, called by the Holy Ghost, indwelt by the Holy Ghost, called to His purpose, called according to His purpose. That's me. That's you. Amen. We want to say amen to that all the time. Amen. 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 We want to say that all the time. I'm called according to His purpose. Now, it doesn't look like I'm doing His purpose, but I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to spend my time looking at that. I'll let the Holy Ghost show me that. But He'll show me in a way that will reveal God's next step for me, next purpose in me. He'll reveal the sin that's next. Let's see, which sin is the next sin? Which one's the next one to be revealed? I was sharing, there's a young lady over in Fort Worth who asked me to just meet with her, and so we'll go to a little restaurant. It's one of our staff daughters, and she has asked, and so we'll just meet at a little restaurant for lunch and just share the scripture. And, you know, I'll just say, what's God doing? You know, what's God doing in your life? And right now we're going through Psalm 119. And one of the verses in Psalm 119 today, in the portion called Hay. I like Psalm 119. It's fun. Hay. We're in Hay. We're in Hay today. And it said the last verse in that section, I think the last verse. Well, it basically talked about the fear of the Lord. And really, the fear of the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. I don't know. I just can't find it. I know it was in there. And it looked like hay to me. I'm going to have to read her Bible again. Oh, okay, well, here it is. Here it is. It is 33. Yep. Establish your word to your servant, who is devoted to your fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear. Your judgments are good. So, and the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord that He wants us to have of Him is an awe. I wish I could remember how I really said it this afternoon. I blessed myself. You ever said something that blessed you? I blessed myself. I just showed you that it was good because it really set it out as and the fear of the Lord truly is it's more than I deserve. It's God is so big and so much for me that I can't take it all. That's the fear of the Lord that He wants me to have. It's like, it's too much for me. This is so much. This is so good. It's scary. It's so good. Oh, I remember what it was. God loves me so much. When you think of fear, you think of Halloween, it's spooky. It's for me, it was like, man, God loves me so much, it's spooky. And He wants us to fear, it's like, yeah, big time. But I mean, it's like, whoa. I can't quite handle that. You know, it's like when something happens, and you're like, ooh, that's, you know, something the Lord did. You're just like, whoa, that's too good. That's too much to be a coincidence. That's just like spooky. And God just loves me that much. Amen? He loves you that much. And it's good. So Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. He's our hope. God our Savior and the Lord Jesus, He's our hope. He's our fervent expectation. He is the end of our salvation is Jesus Christ. To Timothy. Who's Timothy? Who's that? Who's this kid? To Timothy. We don't know. I say he's a kid. We don't know yet. My own son. Well, that's got to say something. He's younger than Paul. To Timothy, my own son, in the faith. Well, I thought Paul wasn't married. He said, son in the faith. So there are sons in the faith. Did you know the Bible talks about us being fathers to the younger. You know, treat the older. He exhorts the younger to treat the older as fathers. And the young women to treat the elder women as mothers, young women or young men, is treat them as mothers and fathers. Well, I thought he said, call no man father. Well, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about call no man father in the sense that God is your father. Don't be, even though Timothy is Paul's son, therefore Paul's his father in the faith, Paul is going to say that with a small f. And even our real father, in accordance with and in with comparison to our existence of being born again and through the Lord, is our father on the earth has become our little f father. He bore us out of his own loins, but he is no longer, and certainly not forever, our father. We have one father. So when we say Father, we always say it with a small f. Amen? No, that is, no man on earth is your Father. That is, no man on earth is, after you are born again, after you have been raised to adulthood, no one is your father but God. Even your father is your brother, if he's in the Lord. Even your father in the Lord, in this life, is your brother. To Timothy, my own son in the faith, it's a recognition of who has come up under the ministry of you. Not just Paul, an apostle, but anybody. Anybody can be a father in the faith, a son in the faith. If you have brought somebody along and they look to you, doesn't have to be, you don't even have to be a pastor. They look to you as a believer who has brought them into the faith, and you're encouraging them and building them up, and you are a father to them in the faith. But again, little f. Grace and mercy and peace from God our Father. This is, as you remember, it's not to a church this time. It's just to Timothy. Well, that's neat. It's not to the whole church. It's just to Timothy. Grace, mercy, and peace to you, Timothy. Grace, mercy, and peace to you, Jack. From God our Father, and Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's look over at Acts chapter 16. Find out about Timothy. Acts chapter 16. Timothy didn't show up until Acts chapter 16. And then came he, that is Paul, to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there. So, see, Timothy was already a disciple. Isn't that interesting? A certain disciple was there, named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. So his mother was a believer, who was a Jew who believed. But his father was a Greek. So she believed, and so she'd already taught Timothy about the things of the Lord. And Timothy was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra. So he was already in the church. They knew him. He was known of them. He was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Well, not only Derbe, but Lystra and Iconium. So him would Paul have to go forth with him. My. So this young man is already coming up. This young man has already proved himself as faithful in the body, hasn't he? Him would Paul have to go forth with him. And he took and circumcised him. Ew. Well, he's not a kid. He's a young man, but he's not a kid. And his dad's a Greek. So I'm sure his dad hadn't been circumcised. This didn't seem like a very fun thing to do. Not necessarily. However, if God instructed Paul to do it, I would not say that this is the thing that everyone should do, because Paul has already preached against it, hasn't he? Yes. Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm, right. Somebody's doing this. That's right. And here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say. Here's my two cents. Here's what I believe. Is that I know that Paul preaches against the fulfilling of the law. But Paul also talks about doing all things through all men, or doing all things before all men that some might be saved. And God looks at the heart. However, for practicality, now, I don't know if they go to public baths or what. Like, who's going to know? You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason. Yeah. And so, the truth is that in some cases, and whether or not that was for absolute certain the Lord, don't know. At the time, we believed that was it, and did not desire to please men, but to obey the Lord in a given circumstance. Here, I believe that Paul is doing this again for a practical reason. There was no reason for Timothy to be a believer, to be circumcised. This has nothing to do with being a believer. Because of the Jews, that's right. Right. Because of the Jews, right, exactly. Now, so he says, yeah, it is interesting. And he took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now, you're right. The interesting thing is, okay, well, so what? You're like, tough. Too bad. However, did he do it for practical purposes? Obviously, yes. Because we know that he did not believe in circumcision. And yet, yeah, he rebuked Peter and James Peter. Withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed because when he went down to, you know. Yeah, exactly, okay. And the elders at Jerusalem? Exactly. Okay, let's read it. And circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and the elders, which were at Jerusalem. Exactly. Good. Huh? Very strange. You know, now, sounds like hypocrisy, doesn't it? What was it? Why did he do it? That's true. So are we saying whether... And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily because of the decrees? Or was it because Timothy was circumcised because of the Jews? Now, I believe here's what I believe about this, is that he did it not for salvation for Timothy. Obviously. He did it for the Jews. Now, of course, in withdrawing yourself from, like Peter did, from eating meat or various, you know, practices because of the Jews. Here, I believe that he did it just to preclude he didn't want Timothy being questioned. Peter withdrew himself, you know, when the Jews came, yeah, when he was with the Gentiles, he ate meat. When the Jews came, he withdrew. You know, as back there in, yeah. No. Let's see here. Yeah, he was. Mm-hmm. Okay. No, I can't find it right now. Oh, maybe it was in Galatians. I think it was in Galatians because we were looking at it the other day. Remember last Thursday? Yeah, here it is in Galatians 2. It is what. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. So a bunch of people came from James, and Peter was busy eating with the Gentiles. But when those guys from James showed up, he withdrew himself and separated himself from those Gentiles, fearing them that were of the circumcision. And the other Jews caved likewise with him, or entered into the same hypocrisy, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as the Jews, who are Jews by nature, and not of the sinners of the Gentiles? And then it goes on talking about, you know, the fact that they're not justified by the deeds of the law. Now, so here he is free before the Gentiles, but bound before the Jews. He was afraid. And I think that's the. I think that's the, that may be the issue. But here, as far as Timothy is concerned, from what I'm seeing, is that he is doing this just on a purely practical level. Number one, it's not for he's not Timothy doesn't have to be circumcised to be saved just because he's a Greek. So it's not about saving, but it's simply to avoid a. It doesn't matter. Circumcision matter. Another place in Scripture says, circumcision matters nothing. Uncircumcision matters nothing but faith. Right? So, neither one. So, do you believe in that? Do you believe that this does something? No, it does nothing. Purely practical. You know, I guess they do enter into public baths. Hey, that guy's, you know, circumcised or not circumcised. In other words, I don't want to deal with that. I want to deal with you. So that's my sense. Because of the Jews. And they went through the city. So were the churches established in the faith, what? According to the decrees. They were established in the faith. So in other words, no law. You don't have to meet the things. You don't have to meet the... Just abstain, if you look back further in Acts 15, it says, abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. In other words, stay away from that stuff. Let's see here. So that's the beginning. That's the beginning of Paul's ministry with Timothy. And let's see here if we go any further. First Timothy. Okay, and then Acts chapter 17. Let's just kind of look at some of the spots where Timothy is mentioned in the book of Acts. 17 chapter verse 14. Verse 13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they didn't like what they heard, so they came and the Jews there stirred up. And so they left Thessalonica. And so now they're at Berea. They came there also and stirred up the people. So they came on down next day. They came from Fort Worth to Dallas. Heard they'd gone next door. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timothy abode there still. Okay, so they stayed there still. And then they conducted Paul and brought him to Athens, and receiving a commandment to Silas and Timothy for to come to him with all speed. So in other words, he wanted them to come and greet and be with him at Athens. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. So he is waiting for those guys to show up in Athens. All right, Acts chapter 19. So just kind of getting an idea. Okay, what was Timothy's part? How much was he mentioned in this whole section? 19 verse 22. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. So now he was sending Timothy and here Erastus into other places. He was beginning to send them out on his own. All right, here verse 20, chapter 20, verse 4. Okay, let's see here. This is coming out of... This is where he's still Paul is still in Ephesus. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called him the disciples and embraced them and departed to go into Macedonia. And when he'd gone over those parts, he'd given them much exhortation, and he came into Greece. And there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. That's the upper part of Greece, the part that's on the continent. And there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. And then remember, this is written by Luke. So Luke is traveling closely with Paul. So he's always staying with Paul. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came to them at Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And then that's where the guy fell out of the window during the late preaching. Good thing we don't have windows. Good thing we don't have a balcony here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So not only the book of Acts, but also he speaks of his presence in some of these letters. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Verse 14, I write not these things to you to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many, what? Fathers. Remember what we talked about? Again, fathers with a small f. Those who raised you up in the faith, taught you properly. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be you followers of me. For this cause have I sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved son. These are the Corinthians. So Timothy had gone into Corinth. And faithful in the Lord. So, you know, we remember him as Ephesus. As in Ephesus, they're talking about in the letter here, which we'll get to. But here he was in Corinth. Or in Texas we'd say Corinth. For this cause have I sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. 2 Corinthians 1:19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus, Silas, and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him, Jesus, are yea, and in him, amen, to the glory of God by us. Philippians chapter 2. Good to find out where all these guys came from. You know, what they've been doing. How did God use them? I don't know. I like it. Because most of the rest of the letters we've been reading have been Paul's letters. Here's one, another one of Paul's letters, but it's to an individual rather than to a group. Okay, this is Philippians 2, 19 through 22. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly to you. Now this is to the Philippians. That I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. So in other words, he's wanting to send Timothy because he can trust him. I don't have any men like-minded, who's like him, who will care for you. So Timothy had a heart to care for the saints. He had the same mind that Paul did to care for the saints. No, nobody's like, I don't have anybody quite like this. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now this isn't necessarily the order that, you know, we're just doing it according to the book order here. This isn't necessarily the order that... Now, because the book of 1 Thessalonians was actually probably the first letter written, from what we know. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3. Verse 1, wherefore, when we could no longer withhold, withstand, forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and God and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. So he was also at Thessalonica. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto, to the affliction. For verily, truly, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, what could I, when I could no longer forbear, no longer wait, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timothy came from you to us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and your agape, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. So Timothy is doing a good work. Amen? Paul's able to send him. It's good to be able to be sent and trustworthy in the Lord. To not be seeking your own. Not be seeking a name for yourself. But to just be ready to serve at any moment. That's what I want to do. I believe the Lord's called me to that. You know, I could try to figure out and have my own ministry or something, or go off and do something. I worked for 12 years in between. I was on staff for 3 years. I was part-time from 81 to 83 with the church in Fort Worth. And then in 86, when the bottom dropped out, I had to go to work. Jim and me and Robert, we all drew straws. You believe that? No, we didn't draw straws. I was informed that I would need to go back to work if I wanted to support my wife. So went back to work at Walmart. Opened the Walmart in Lake Worth, Texas. No, I wasn't the manager. I was still throwing mail. Was I? No, I wasn't doing that. And then I went to I saw an ad in the paper. One of our deacons at the time, one of our men in the church, was a partner in a CPA firm. Big eight back then. Now I think it's like big four. They all merged. That's big four. Was big eight. And he was the man, partner in charge over there. And they had a position for a runner. So I went over there and talked to Bob. He said, well, go see this girl here. And so I did. And then I was hired that day. Praise the Lord. That was about 4 months into Walmart. And as I remember, I think I was asked to leave right after Thanksgiving, right before Christmas. Man, isn't that good for pastors to boot you out? And I was expected there the next Sunday to keep doing what I was doing. Imagine that. Why would a man do that? Maybe I should have just gone to another church and gotten another job. No money. Praise the Lord. I didn't have any problem with it. Of course, I knew I was keeping all the books at that time, so I knew it. We had stretched as long as we could stretch. And at that time, I was I was the helps administrator. I was the staff. So, you know, I wasn't, you know, in the pastoral office at that time. I was 23, 22. Probably a good thing. Didn't need to be in the pastoral office at 23, 24, whatever. So, went to work. That's 6 months, right? Maybe a year. Right, praise the Lord. 12 years later, and still, now I was beginning to draw a partial compensation, you know, over that period of time. But the Lord never, I never had it in my heart to go. I believed God sent me. You know, and I don't believe God called me to go somewhere else and build up my ministry. Maybe I'm just not ambitious. Maybe I'm just scared. Maybe. I believe God called me to where I am. To be a blessing, to do what I'm doing. And didn't I had no desire to jump up and run. And go, well, let's go find another church. Let's go find, because God had called me at a certain place. Amen? So, hallelujah. Stayed right there. God's blessing. Then Robert left. And the time was then right for me to come in. And, you know, like I said, I'd still been doing the same old stuff. I'd been there every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. You know, kept going. As all during the time that we did the Bible study. I was driving to Dallas every week. I used to bring a keyboard to Dallas, to the Melrose Hotel. I'd load up the back of the van and bring the keyboard. Set up the speakers. You know? Hook it all up. Hallelujah. Hook up the sound system. You know? I'm just saying, be faithful. Yeah, I'm nothing. I'm not, you know, I'm nothing. All I know is what I had in my heart to do is not to go somewhere else and find somewhere else to pay me. Oh, yeah, that's 86. Yeah, probably so. I only had two children back then. Of course, Jim had four and Robert had three, and I only had two. So maybe that was it. So, anyway, praise the Lord. Let's go. Chapter 1, verse 3 of 1 Timothy. As I besought you to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that you might charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Now at the end of the commandment is Now the end of the commandment is agape, is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. What is it to feign something? To fake it. Without hypocrisy. So let's read that again. As I besought you to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that you might charge that they teach no other doctrine. Okay, so he's staying at Ephesus in order to charge them, to exhort them, the elders there, that they teach no other doctrine. And that they neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, just speculation. Endless, just questions that will not be answered. Well, what about, how many angels can you put on the head of a pin? They just stir up more questions. Praise the Lord. Must be my son Jordan calling. I better turn that off. Which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Do it. Do it. As I've charged you, do that. Now the end of the commandment. Now the bottom line, what should turn up? What's the commandment? What's the commandment of Jesus? That's right. With all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The end of that commandment is the agape. In other words, what results from the commandment is agape from you. The Holy Spirit indwelling you and preaching only the doctrine of Jesus Christ. The end of that, the result of that, is agape out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of the faith and of faith without hypocrisy. From which some have swerved, having swerved, have turned aside to vain jangling. Man, there's a lot of that, isn't it? Some have turned aside to vain jangling. Just nonsense. Just a bunch of jabber. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm, what they nor what they agree to. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, kidnappers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. As God's judgment, putting someone in the ministry. He counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. God who has, He has enabled me after having put me into the ministry. See, ministers aren't, they're not already able. They have to be enabled. God has to enable them. Because I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious or violent. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I just did it in unbelief. I didn't know. I didn't know the truth. See, people do things without knowing the truth. Mm-hmm. That's true. But when the truth has come, you're responsible for the truth. And the grace of God, the grace of our Lord, was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is it was in Christ Jesus. That was the grace that brought me to faith. So the grace of God hit Paul, knocked him off his horse, blinded him. Man, that's tough stuff. That's the grace of God. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. In other words, hey, I'm telling you the truth. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to everlasting life. Hey, man, if you save Paul, you save anybody. You can save Pastor Jim. Golly, save anybody. Now, Pastor Dave, he's kind of a nice kid. Raised up in the Lutheran tradition. Now, I was one of these guys in number 9. Ungodly and sinner. That's what's good. That's what the law is good for. It's not for the righteous, but it's for these guys, of whom we are. If there be anything that is contrary to sound doctrine, that includes disobedience. I know it kind of went on up to profane, unholy, murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, manslayers, whoremongers, kidnappers, perverts. That's the part that says defile themselves with mankind. They're just perverts. But the first one is good. Lawless and disobedient. It's just me. So verse 16, however, for this cause I obtained mercy. Why? For what cause? That in me first, in other words, not very first, obviously Peter and James and all those guys were saved, but starting with me and continuing from me. In other words, out of me for my ministry. Starting in me, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him. In other words, the same way that God forgave me, He'll forgive you. To all those who would believe on Him to everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on you. Apparently there were some prophecies that went forth on him. That you by them might war a good warfare. In other words, be encouraged by those things which were spoken. Don't give up the ship. Don't lose faith. Don't lose hope. The Holy Spirit said these things, spoke them over you. That according to the prophecies which went before on you, that you by them might war a good warfare. Remember those things. See, there are things that the Lord has spoken to you. And God said, remember those things. He said, remember those things. Don't forget them. Well, it just seems so long ago now. No, God said those things. You hold them. Get the tape of them. Now, not the one that said you're going to get the Cadillac tomorrow. But the one that said, that agrees with the Scripture, that God calls and places, He lifts up and places those in place whom He wills. Verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Holding faith and a good conscience. That is, having a good conscience I believe when the Holy Spirit moves in, there are two parts of conscience. Romans chapter 1 talks about the first part of conscience. It says that every man knows to look for God, and they choose not to. Every man knows. That's conscience. That's like Jim talks about the ROM. That's the read-only memory. That's the one that's imprinted in your board. And you can't get away from it. And there is no one who is without excuse. But then there is a conscience. Then that conscience becomes, when the Holy Ghost indwells you, then He begins to speak to you. As again, Jim's talked about the difference between theos and thios. Theos is knowledge of God. Knowing in your being to search for Him. Theos is knowing Him. Knowing God as God, personally. Not the God out there, but the God in me. That's the conscience that He's talking about here. Is the one that's when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, holding faith and a good conscience. That is, be tender toward the things of the Lord. Being tender. You can grieve the Holy Ghost. Doesn't mean God doesn't love you. Or God won't forgive you. It doesn't mean that at all. But you begin to sear your conscience. and then you'll run the risk of running into a place where the enemy can have his way with you. Now, you've been under persecution and you've been under suffering. That's one thing. But then to disregard the moving of the Holy Spirit so that you shut him out, then you could be in a world of hurt. That'd be like these two guys coming up, which have some having put away concerning faith. They put away their conscience and they've made shipwreck. Like, for instance, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. When people will not hear you, you warn them. You bring them before the church. Go with them two or three. Bring them before the church, and they will not hear you. You treat them like a heathen man and a publican. You turn them over to the enemy for the destruction of the flesh. Well, like God did over here in Romans chapter 1, He says He turned them over to a reprobate mind. Yeah, it is strong. That is. Though the fact is that turning them over to a reprobate mind, I believe, is the same. Is, in other words, these guys have been in the faith. Yet, they have departed by their actions. They've seared their conscience and gone about to do their own thing. And so, if they will not repent, we can't leave them in the church. We can't let them continue to do what they're doing. Again, they have given themselves over to their own strength, to their own idea. And I believe that they run the risk of these same guys who were reprobate. They run the risk of not knowing the Lord, because they've made a decision to walk outside of the grace of God. They've been rebuked by men of God. So therefore they haven't gone to God. They haven't repented. And so this may be He's delivering them to Satan, so they may have that opportunity. Pretty much. And that's the end of the chapter. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You tonight for young men in the faith. We thank You for giving them boldness and courage to obey those who have the rule over them, those who have assigned them, those who have set them in place, that they may not fear people, that they may not fear, as You said to Jeremiah, that You but not be afraid of their faces. And I thank You, Lord God, that You have used not only Timothy, but others to be young men of faith, strength, obedience, and agape. When you're young, it's hard to not take things personally, or not take things as if, you know, you're being abused by older people. But I thank You, Lord God, that we have a church of men and women, young and old, who do not hold grudges nor take bribes, but they have turned themselves and all of their gripes and complaints over to love. They have walked in forgiveness to those in the body and to those whom they know. And I ask you, Lord God, to cause this body, this fellowship, to be a demonstration of this same love that Timothy ministered as a young man. And we just give you the praise and the thanksgiving for it. Father, let us be a light, not an exclusive club. But we don't want to be an exclusive club, but we want to be a light. We don't want to be part of us. We want to be, here's what we have found to be the truth. And we bless you. And we thank you for it. Thank you for letting this light shine through us. In Jesus' name, amen.